what I was taking pictures of.
You talked about this photograph on All Things Considered. And then NPR received a letter from listeners who heard about. There's a couple in Southern California, and I want to read this letter, if that's okay. My wife is 7 weeks pregnant, and after hearing David Gilkey's story about Sa Exco, that's the little boy's name, I knew that we had found the name for our child. When Sa Exco passed away, no one was able to give him love, care, and protection. And in honor of Sa Exco, my wife and I are going to name our first child after him and provide it with what Sa was missing so very much in the last few days of his life. How have you ever gotten a letter like that before? And how did you, I don't know, how did you react when you heard it?
I mean, I was overwhelmed. I don't personally want to take credit for anything. I mean, that's not why we do what we do, but getting a letter like that is why we sort of take the risk sometimes that we do and why we get out there, and to actually hear from somebody who was so affected by not only the story but the photograph and sort of the stuff that we did online around it and the social media of getting it out there. I mean, it's just a rare opportunity to where you get to feel the effects of what you're doing.
That was photojournalist David Gilkey. We say goodbye to him and his translator. They were killed this week while on assignment in Afghanistan. The world is a poorer place without them. Great war photographers bring a tremendous sense of mission to their work. Most of them believe that the right image, seen by enough people at the right time, can maybe change the world. Not right away, but in time. Over the past 30 years, the photographer James Noctway has covered just about every major armed conflict in the world. He's been shot and wounded more than once, and he's been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize 10 times. I talked with him when he had just put together an exhibition of photos that he took in Iraq, Afghanistan, and the place those wars began, Ground Zero on 9/11.
I lived not far from it. I could see it from my window. When I saw the first tower smoking, I thought it was an accident, but an accident of that magnitude at the World Trade Center was obviously going to be very important, so I began to assemble my camera gear. While I was doing that, there was a kind of vibration in the air, and my windows rattled, and I looked out my window again, saw that the second tower was burning, and understood immediately that we'd been attacked, and the United States was now at war.
And what did you do? You went out into the street, and as everybody was running away, you started running toward the scene?
Well, that's what I do, exactly. That would be part of my job description. I got there before either of the towers fell, and I was framing both towers burning when the South Tower collapsed. And there's a picture in the show that depicts that moment.
Yeah, let's talk about that one. There are no people in that photograph, but it's kind of terrifying. I mean, you should describe it.
It was hard to believe. I was seeing it with my own eyes. Those steel girders that you see flying through the air like matchsticks are huge. I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of pounds each. Gigantic pieces of metal and sides of the building were flying through the air, as well as a kind of confetti of tens of thousands of pieces of paper that had been inside filing cabinets. Somehow my mind literally clicked into slow motion, and all of this was just floating towards me so slowly I thought I had all the time in the world to make the frame, and only I was shooting film. There were 36 frames on a roll of film as opposed to digital, which has many more. Mm. I got to the last frame when I shot that picture, and that stopped me because I knew I had to change film. And in stopping me, everything went back into normal motion, and I realized I was about to get taken out.